What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. She wishes I proposed to her with ring cheese. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? I mean, yes, I know.
I've heard of string cheese. I've heard of ring pops. But ring cheese? Listen, Rob?
I love cheese. I love rings. But putting a ring into a bowl of mozzarella? Dude.
I like to throw around it's the thought that counts a lot.
True.
Not for this.
Well, I have to say
there was no thought for this. That's the problem. He was like, ring and a cheese.
Well, I think there was a thought. I don't know what it was, but for him, he felt like this is it. He's going to do a big gesture and give her the ring back. However, she doesn't like cheese, so not sure what that was all about. Also, who doesn't like cheese?
Lactose intolerant. Well, I feel like that's not even true. I feel like people who are lactose intolerant wish they could eat cheese. They love the cheese.
You just pop the pills.
You pop the lactate. Yeah. Call it a day. Yeah. Hey, A for effort, I guess. He should have done like Swiss cheese and you could have put the ring inside the hole.
Or do something good like feta cheese.
Yeah. But hey, he's trying. I think he's trying to turn this ship around.
I think I hate to say because I don't like it all, but he's redeeming himself a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was such an ass on the past season and he's trying. I think he calmed down a little bit too. Like he still gets upset, but he doesn't react.
Well, maybe, just maybe he's realizing, oh, I could lose her. And that'll make you.
Yeah.
He's a confident guy.
He's
got a lot of ladies that are probably sliding into his DMs, giving him the eye on 6th Street. And he thinks, I got options.
Maybe.
But then he realizes, oh, the one I love has actually been sleeping with Kay for the last couple months. I better head to the dairy section of the supermarket and figure some way to get her back.
We'll see. We'll see. He's trying. If nothing, he is trying.
At least this episode.
Yes. Let's see what's going to happen next.
All right. Before we get into this episode, real quick, a little business. Guys, woo! Pull over. Put the dumbbells down. Turn off the vacuum. Whatever you guys are doing right now. Big news. We've teased it. We've teased it before. Teresa's looking around the room. She doesn't know what I'm about to say.
No idea.
But today? Depends. Yeah, you guys are listening to this today. Today? The season premiere.
Ooh.
Of Love in Paradise.
Ooh.
So, obviously, it's Sunday night right now, but the season premiere, Monday night of Love in Paradise. And, guys, we've read the news reports, the articles. We've watched the trailer
Ooh,
9 times.
So good.
This season looks amazing.
Can't wait.
And, yes, we are covering it on the Patreon and the Supercast at the Cousins Club and Family Affair level. So, if you want to hear our thoughts, and if you guys have seen the trailer or read any of the articles, you know it's going to be spicy. If you want to hear our thoughts, jump on over to the Patreon, jump on over to the Supercast, your choice, dealer's choice, and check it out. You know, you sign up for a month at a time if you want, and if you don't like Love in Paradise, I can't imagine why you would not like Love in Paradise.
But I can't wait.
I cannot wait. I don't want to rush this.
I know.
But I
know.
I am dying to see this season premiere.
So far, TLC has been delivering. And
don't
the
jinx
previews,
it.
Don't the jinx previews it. Look amazing. So I have high hopes. TLC, don't disappoint me.
I do too. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that, check us out on Patreon and Supercast, patreon.com/MarriedToReality, marriedtoreality.supercast.com. Of course, it's ad-free over there. It's business-free over there. None of this chit-chat. Just straight to the goods. If you want video, check out the Family Affair level. All good things are happening over there on those premium channels. So check it out, Patreon and Supercast. Also, follow us on Instagram, at MarriedToRealityPod. That's where you guys call in. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear what you think about the episodes, what you think about the pod. news, if you got by the ways, call in, message us, follow along. We love chatting with you guys on Instagram.
Yes. Couldn't say it better.
That's why I said it.
Because I'll let you.
Thank you.
I tried to chime in, but you were going strong, so I'll let you take the lead.
Thank you. All right. Well, here's where you can chime in a little bit. All right. Make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down, smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot as Julian, the husband of the Euro 90 day, because that guy, we all need a friend like him.
All right. Let's save our thoughts for that.
He's
segment.
A husband of Nicole's friend, and he's the one who was making peace.
Okay. I'm going to hold my commentary until we get to that portion of the episode. All right. Smash like it's as hot as Julian, though. And last but not least, if you haven't left the review, please do. You guys know we're suckers for a little love over here. We all need a little love, us especially, once in a while. If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here.
Well, do you have a review?
There is. I'm glad you asked. I do. It's a short and a sweet one.
Let's hear it.
Comes to us from our friend Cabarita.
Hello, Cabarita. Is that what you said?
Cabarita.
Oh, Cabarita.
Very nice name.
I like it.
Cabarita. 5 stars.
Love titled, it.
I'm a complete moron for this one. These two are amazingly funny. Signed, Cabarita.
I love it.
What a moron for this in a good way. I think like the way we call each other sluts sometimes, like, oh, you're such a slut. Like, she's like, I'm a moron for this. She's just stupid in love with the pod, I have to imagine.
I love that.
Yeah. I think so, Cabrita. I hate to translate your words.
I'll take it with love.
Yeah, I think so. It's 5 stars, so it's positive in my book.
5 stars, always positive.
Yeah.
Imagine someone tells you, you suck, 5 stars.
We've had, you guys are awesome. You're my favorite podcast. Couldn't get through the week without you. 1 star. So, stranger things have happened. But thank
True,
you, Cabrita.
Great review. Thank you so much. Sweet yes. and short, and we love it.
Yes. All right. That is the business. What do you say before we get into this episode? A little 90 day, by the way.
Let's hear what you found out.
All right, Teresa, I got some dirt.
Share, because this week, I don't think I've seen much.
All right, and I'm surprised we didn't hear more of this, although this is kind of hot off the presses. So let's see if you've heard any whisperings of this. We'll start slow. Let's start slow.
All right.
By the way, number one. Well, Michael. hasn't been on our screens yet this season.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to be.
I don't know. I don't know. But he can be on your phone screen if you want, because he just set up a new Cameo account.
Wow, by himself?
By himself. And that is telling in itself a couple other telling things about it. So he set up his new Cameo account. He put out his intro video, as you do when you set up Cameo. He's like, yep, here's my new, this is my new account. Reach out to me. Give me a shout. I'm down to for any occasion to send you a message or make you a video. Just let me know. Happy to do it. So, a couple of things.
All right.
One, he said, this is my new account. He had an account previously.
But it was with Angela, wasn't it?
I looked it up. It looked solo, but I would imagine Angela was probably controlling it, probably controlling the money. Mm-hmm. So this is, he's going out on his own. The band is broken up, I guess, and he's going solo. And two, the background of the video can't be Angela's house. It looks very nice. It looks well decorated, clean.
Where is he?
No idea. No idea. But two pretty big clues in my book that they are Splitsville.
Well, we've seen the Splitsville on social media, and that was a big thing. I've read some tea, and I don't know if this is true, so don't take it seriously, but that he has another woman in the U.S.
I don't like that.
I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, I would love to know, where is he?
Where is he? Michael, where are you? You want to guess how much his Cameo is? How much for a video?
25.
A little more.
35.
Up.
45.
Keep going.
He really needs money. 55.
Come on, America's expensive.
65.
Still more.
75.
Nailed it.
That's, I don't, Michael, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't pay it. I would pay 25.
I would do 25, I think.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, a lot of these foreigners don't understand that if you go cheaper, you get more.
Right.
So in the long run, you'll get more money.
It's 100% correct.
$75 for a video, you might get a few requests here and there. If you do $20, people are going to get drunk, be like, $20 to hear from Michael.
Whew. 100%. All right. That's, by the way, number one. By the way, number two, Teresa, I don't know if you got a spare pair of underwear around, but I would find a pair quick because you're probably going to shit your pants.
All right.
Okay.
Just showered, so.
This is bombshell news. This report comes from Yahoo News.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is like a little two-parter, if you
okay.
will. It's an onion. This story is an onion.
Share, please.
All right.
Just stop stretching it. Just tell me.
I like to create a little drama, a little mystery. All right.
Well, okay.
Okay. You want to say something? You
want
to?
No, I want you to say something.
All right. Ruben the Cuban.
Okay.
Filed a police report against Debbie.
What?
Okay. Here we go. Why? For cyber harassing and stalking.
What?
Okay. So, Ruben filed this report on April 12th. About a week ago or so, right?
Jeez.
So he said, Debbie's been going online, little chatter about him, saying some not so great things.
Like on her live?
Going on Instagram Live, going on social media, and kind of defaming Ruben.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so Ruben came back and called her out on Instagram saying, recently, Miss Aguero, Miss Deb, started a malicious campaign of accusations and defamation against me.
Why? What happened? What is she accusing him of?
So this is breaking news and an unraveling story. So I'm trying to keep up. But from what I can tell, he started a GoFundMe page to raise money for a friend.
Okay.
Saying his friend was in dire need, his home needs repairs. And I think Deb was saying, that's BS. I wouldn't fall for it. He's scamming. But then Ruben just came out with a video like, hey, I'm at my friend's house. Look at this house is in shambles. It needs help. And that's why I started the GoFundMe. So Ruben said, beware of Deb. She portrays herself as a healer and an advocate for well-being every Monday on her Instagram. However, it's becoming evident that her true motivations are driven by self-interest, regardless of who she harms in the process. Okay? So I told you, this is an onion, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the tip of the iceberg.
Peel it.
Apparently, Teresa, Debbie faked the whole relationship with Ruben just for TV.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how did she find him?
All right, I'm glad you asked. So In Touch has an exclusive report confirming that Debbie faked this relationship with Ruben just for the storyline. So In Touch got a hold of some messages, and in those messages, it shows Debbie went on dating sites, online dating websites, specifically seeking out a partner to, in quotes, play the part of a potential love interest on a reality TV show.
Wow.
She goes, I need to find someone somewhat presentable. If you can help me out or even yourself for this reality show, I'd appreciate it. I just want to finish up the filming and have no expectations whatsoever. So these are screenshots of her message to Ruben.
Oh, wow.
She wrote, just appear to be interested in me and convince the producer that you might like to get to know me.
So this was all fake, but the producers didn't know?
No. So she had Ruben reach out to the producers and she was like, I'm going to pass my name along to my producer. I'm going to say we're friends, but we're interested in getting to know each other a little more intimately. And then she goes, by the way, what do you do for a living? If the producer asks me, I need to know what you do for a living. So they didn't know each other. She was going on dating websites, trying to find a guy so that she can keep
going. Yikes.
Yeah. So I don't know if this was like a mid filming. She ran into a roadblock with her potential love interest, whether it was that first guy we saw her, and she was like, I need another guy to keep filming the season. This is all allegedly. I'm not in making any claims here.
I feel like In Touch is pretty important.
Yahoo and In Touch. Yeah. So
Ruben the Cuban came out and said it was all fake.
Someone shared the screenshots, and there were screenshots between Deb and Ruben. It would seem like maybe it was him. And
now I must have been one of them. Who else would share it?
Maybe now that Deb's going at him, he's like, all right, you want to screw me? I'll screw you.
Who else would share it? Like, who else has access to your cell phone?
Yeah. I don't know. So
exactly.
That's the story. That's crazy to me.
And wow.
And what's going on with our reality shows, Teresa? MAFS was all a farce. This is a farce.
And you know what's the craziest thing? Out of all the people on 90 Day, Debbie, who's almost 70, someone who actually I thought is genuinely looking for love, to have someone in her late stages of life, her words, not mine, I can't believe that she would be the one faking something.
It makes me wonder if the whole Usama thing was just for TV.
Ooh.
She just wants to get on and be able to raise money for her business or her healing arts.
What's her business?
I don't know. Some
healing.
Isn't
she retired?
No, I think she's doing some creative arts therapy studio in the animal sanctuary. So I don't know. I would believe if the Ruben thing was a farce, that the Usama thing was a farce.
Well, yeah, but honestly, she never really plugged in any of her businesses. Like, some people do that.
I don't even know if it's that, but she's gaining some clout. And so things just naturally will come to you once you have little fame. I don't know. But
interesting. I want to know more.
I know. This is sort of a unraveling story as we speak. So there you go. That's 90 Day, by the way.
Nice. Look at you.
Woo. All right. Let's do it.
Nice find.
Thanks. All right. Let's do it. The reason we're here, Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After.
Question mark.
Season 8, Episode 6. Let's start not with Deb's Julian, but with Nicole's Julian.
Yeah, Nicole and Mahmoud. So we pick up where we left off with Nicole yelling out, enough is enough.
this was Mahmoud's wake-up party. Forget a welcome party. This was his wake-up party.
His second day in America.
Yeah. I do appreciate where Julian was coming from, but at some point I just feel like, none of your business.
Correct. But Nicole, whose business it is doing nothing but yelling. Her girlfriends, I don't think they really want to get into that, and I'm glad they aren't. And I feel like Julian's there as the husband of the friend, the husband of the foreigner, someone who's been through something similar, and a guy, because don't forget, Mahmoud is a Muslim, right? Yeah. I think there is a way of him viewing men and women. And I think there's something coming from Julian he might listen to more so.
I love Julian explaining women to Mahmoud. He's like, look, Mahmoud, girls talk shit. It's what they do. Okay, we talk a little shit too, but girls definitely talk a lot of shit. And Mahmoud explains to Julian why there's a disagreement at all. It's the dress. It's the back.
I like that Julian was trying to see both sides. He wasn't there just defending Nicole or just defending him. He was there trying to make sense, saying, Mahmoud, Nicole said that you guys talked and you said that you want to come around the American culture, right? And you want to get to know how things are here, maybe wrap your mind around some of the things. So her showing a little bit of back wasn't that bad. And I agree. But then Mahmoud, and I don't like Mahmoud, but he said, I did say that, but I've only been here for 2 days. And I get it. He is still going through a massive culture shock. And I get it. I went through a culture shock and I best just relocated from Czech to America. Nothing with religion or anything like that. Just a culture shock. So give him a few more days.
Yeah, he's still jet lag.
Yeah, probably. For sure. And honestly, like, give him a month. Don't show your belly. Don't show your back. Let him adjust. Let him see what other people are doing, wearing, so he gets used to it. You can still wear a nice dress without showing your boobs or back.
But that's my only defense of Nicole, though, is that dress wasn't over the line, I don't think.
It wasn't at all. That dress was kind of a grandma-ish.
So that is, she's doing what we're saying, is baby step it, give him time to adapt. She didn't come out in her crop top and miniskirt. So I don't think she did anything wrong. Mahmood reacted the way he reacted because he wasn't happy with it. But I don't think she was necessarily pushing his buttons or crossing any lines.
I don't think she was either, but I think him promising her meeting her halfway, she should have met him halfway too, but give him a few days. Give him at least a week. This dude's just got
here.
I don't think
she thought that that dress was going to be an issue. So you're saying, oh, give him a few days. I don't think she thought that dress would be an issue.
Oh, she knew that.
Really?
I think she tried. I think this was her, all right, he said he's going to meet me halfway. Let's see him meeting me halfway. And I think, listen, I'm all for it. She should be able to wear whatever she wants. She's in her homeland. You do you, girlfriend. However, you're married to a guy who is a strict Muslim, who asked you before, hey, I don't like what you're wearing, who promised that he's going to meet you halfway, which is great. Give him more than 2 days, because I have a closet filled with nice dresses that I'm not showing my back or my boobs necessarily, and they still look sexy and good. So I think she tried to push it. I think she really tried. Hey, okay, you're here now. Show me that you can keep your promise of meeting me halfway. I just think it was too soon for him. We all know how it's going to end up. But yeah.
Do you think Julian's wife's a mail order bride?
No.
I didn't understand when he was like, you know, Olga, she's from Ukraine. She wanted to go back to her country when she first got here. But we both changed and she's still here. It's like,
so she could have been an au pair. She could have just come to see friends. She could have come for studies.
It made it seem like he was here. She came and she immediately wanted to go back home.
I don't think Julian needed a mail order bride.
Yeah, I know. We think we heard you. You think he's so hot. Smash like it's as hot as Julian.
No,
Julian.
I didn't mean his looks. I think he's a good looking dude. I don't think he's hot, but I think he is a good friend, and also he was the voice of reason in this freaking mess. That's what I said it.
The only reason I support how far Julian went and got into this issue is if there were signs that this could get physical. And look, we know how this story ends, and so there could have been signs or warning signs or something Julian picked up on or heard, but I don't know. I feel like he may have stuck his nose too far in someone else's business. This is not his issue to resolve.
Here's the thing. Imagine you're invited to someone's house to meet someone and they started yelling at each other, screaming. They're all like my friends. So just girls, you're the only guy there. Are you really going to stay in the back without saying something or trying to talk to this guy? You would.
I don't think I'm going to talk to a guy like I understand what he's going through the first 5 minutes that I meet him.
So you would be hanging in the back yelling, my friend, just yell at him and
I would say, hey, Olga and whoever, we should probably leave because Nicole and Mahmood have some things they need to discuss and we don't need to be here for it.
Or you sense that maybe, as you said, things might get physical.
Right. If that's...
Let's maybe stay.
Yeah. If that's the case, then by all means, stay. But I wasn't sensing that in this moment. Nicole was the one who seemed to be a little...
But also...
Animated.
Nicole was saying, Julian, help me. Julian, go and talk to him.
Yeah.
So,
but again, it's not his job to make Mahmood accept Nicole's fashion choices.
No, it's not his job to do anything, to sort anything between them. But I think it was good that he tried to calm down the situation to make sure he can calm down, she can calm down, and then they can move on. And they got very close until Nicole freaked out again. He freaked out and started packing. She started yelling at me to get the fuck out of her apartment, and so he did.
I did appreciate Julian giving Mahmood a little taste of his own medicine, because obviously Mahmood is using religion as his reason why he doesn't like Nicole dressing the way she does. And Mahmood was like, well, if Nicole can't accept me as a Muslim, she can find an American. We can divorce. She can find an American. And Julian was like, divorce isn't good for your religion either. Is it, Mahmood? You shouldn't be divorcing.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, that's true. So kind of called him out on that. But yeah, then they go back inside and Mahmood starts to pack up, and that just sent Nicole over the edge.
Yes. And so he grabs his suitcase. He's trying to leave. They're trying to stop him. Someone wiggles off the suitcase, but he keeps going.
Julian literally was holding Mahmood still. Like, he was using physical restraint to keep Mahmood from leaving.
Well, let me remind you of something. He's here on a K-1 visa, meaning Nicole is responsible for him. If he left and he went elsewhere, let's say he got into a fight, he robbed someone, right?
Yeah.
She'll have some things to explain.
Okay, then Nicole should work on her communication skills instead of Julian literally trying to physically restrain him, being like, no, 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 not the front door. The balcony's better. Maybe go to the balcony if you want to go to a door.
He was trying to tell him, let's take it easy. Let's calm down.
I just don't know why Julian was literally chasing Mahmood down the street. Like, don't go. Come back. Sit down on the stairs. Like,
because imagine he steps over. That was a fucking highway. Imagine he gets run over by a car.
You think Julian's thinking about this?
Yeah, Nicole, because he's like, don't cross cars.
I think Nicole should be.
Oh yeah, here's the bottom line. They are a horrible match.
Horrible.
They're a horrible couple. I don't even know. I've never seen a sign of love, not even a little bit. You know, with some couples, you look at them, you're like, bad match, but sometimes they hold hands. Sometimes they kiss. So you think, maybe.
Yeah.
I've never seen it with them ever. She always looks like she's so unhappy. He always looks like he's trying, but not really. Horrible match. Now she's in America, so she feels empowered. And she should. You do you. But now Mahmood looks like he's backed in the corner. She's doing whatever she wants. There is no love. There is no communication. It's a horrible relationship. He should have grabbed the luggage and they should have let him go or drop him back at the airport. Like, yeah. This is horrible.
I agree. All right. Well, that's where that leaves off.
True. We saw the previews. He got the luggage. He's rolling down the street with the luggage.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Nicole threw it out of the balcony or something, but...
Wild.
Wild. I'm here for it. Don't get me wrong, but this is...
It just sucks because we know how the story ends.
Yeah, they're one of the worst matches ever. I always thought this was speaking of fake, that this was a fake relationship.
Oh, I never thought that.
When she was in Egypt, she hated him. She hated Egypt. Well, she hated everything. She couldn't wait to get out of there. So I was like, all right, that was the season. She tried. They're faking it, right? When we learned that he got heat, I was like, holy shit.
I'll give you that. I thought it was one of those, oh yeah, we were really dating and we applied for the show. Then we broke up and you guys called and we said, let's get back together just for the show. But I thought it was rooted in a real relationship at some point. But it should not be. They should not be.
You should not propose to someone after 24 hours. Let me just put it this way. Because this is what you're going to get.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Emily and Kobe and those who will not be invited to this wedding.
Well, I have to say, I'm team Emily.
Yeah, I wouldn't want someone sitting in the wedding that doesn't support the relationship.
Like, if your friends, and you have good friends, if they, your friends, did not support our relationship, I promise you, they would not be at our wedding. Like, I would not allow them to come in, watch us to get married, and deep down judge us that I'm not good for you. They would not. It would not be happening.
Yeah, no, I support that totally. And I don't understand why they would want to go to a wedding that they don't believe in.
Yeah, I honestly hate Kobe's friends. They're one of the most awful friends we've ever seen on 90 Day.
Is that that true?
They're awful. They gave her zero chance. They're just basing the way he is off of TVs and what they know about American women.
That's it's very true.
Honestly, like,
that's very true.
Watch 90 Day, watch Angela, how she acted. Yeah, I understand the goofballs hated Angela. Well, there's a lot of reasons for it. I'll give them that. These guys never met Emily. They just met her. They don't like her already. They are literally spoiling the relationship by bringing up Kobe's ex.
Telling
Emily and Kobe that she's not good enough for you. They have two and a half kids at the time. They've been married for a while. Like, what are you trying to do?
That's a good point. It's, yeah,
awful, awful friends.
Yeah, they're generalizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, an entire country's worth of women.
And they're going to get worse.
Yeah. Kobe doesn't care, though. He says, my country, my rules, my friends are coming to the wedding.
Yeah, he doesn't want to see what she sees. And I hope he ends up seeing it because I'm Team Emily.
I think at some point that you just try to keep the peace. He's married to Emily. He's not listening to his friends. He's not thinking about divorcing her. He's just going, look, this is what people think here about white women. I'm not one to subscribe to it, clearly, because I'm married to you and I'm happy with you. But let's keep the peace. They can come and we can have our wedding here.
Well, here's another thing that I Kobe lost some points with me. Emily does bring up his friends talking about his ex and how he was still with her when he proposed to Emily. And Emily says, which I agree with, she says, hey, what you did before me, that's your past. I don't care. That's fine. Do whatever you want. But if you were with your ex when you proposed to me, well, I would like to know. And this is what your friend said. And Kobe spinned it around and said, oh, so you went to my friends, you started digging about my past? She's like, no, they literally told me. And then she said, Valerie told her. And Kobe's like, yeah, I don't, why would Valerie do that? I don't think so.
Yeah, he didn't do a very good job at all of explaining it away. When she brought it up, it could have been a very easy, no, I broke up with her and then I moved to China. He didn't say that.
Yeah.
He did not set a clear line in the sand of like, nope, this was before you. I was single when I met you. He never said any of that, which is very suspicious.
A little suspicious, but I can also see how he ghosted someone without saying anything. And then
that's
the girl
too
might have thought that, oh, he's coming back to me. Meanwhile, Kobe was elsewhere.
That's true too. But apparently they still talk. So
yeah,
I wouldn't consider it a full ghosting. They talk once in a while and she knows about Emily. So I don't know. It doesn't look too good for Kobe.
No, but Emily says, well, how about we ask her? Because I have your side. I have Valerie's side. Someone's lying here.
Yeah.
So I would like to know who's lying.
Yeah. So they end up going to an amusement park the next day. And on the way to the amusement park, they had to go through this checkpoint, which gave me flashbacks to us in Czech going to the airport.
To Austria, yeah.
I was sleeping in the back of, I do everything I can to get through your dad's car rides. And I was, I was trying to sleep. And I woke up to like a knock on the window asking for my passport. And it was very startling to
wake
up to that.
They do it because, like, obviously European Union, we have open borders, but they started doing checkpoints because of illegal immigrants trying to come into EU.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing checkpoints between like all the countries. Not every time, not all the time, but they do it randomly.
Yeah, it was a little startling to wake up to somebody like, give me your papers. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
All right. Nothing happened to us. Nothing happened to them. They were let through. So they get to this amusement park. And this friend, Baby Val, shot out of a cannon. she was like playing tackle with Emily.
I guess all Kobe's friends are named Valerie. Male, females.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. Maybe that's why this is Baby Val.
Baby Val.
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, Baby Val is their mutual friend because they met in China. She was Kobe's roommate and she was there when Kobe met Emily.
True.
So Emily feels like, oh, finally I have someone in my corner, someone who's actually my friend and is local.
Baby Val thinks Emily is bossy, even though Emily would say she's not.
And Emily agree. She's like, yeah, I mean, sometimes, sure, I should tone it down a little. And that's great. I'm glad she is aware of it. But at the same time, she's like, yeah, like, that's me. Well, Baby Val suggests she should try and give the friends another shot. Try to connect with them, which, again, Emily agrees. She's
good
like,
advice.
You know, yeah, you're right. I'll try to be fun Emily to show them how much I love Kobe. And then we get along well and I'll do it. And I was like, nice.
Take the high road. I think a little effort goes a long way. And,
for sure.
And so there's this little standoff between Kobe's friends and Emily, and no one wants to be the first one to really put out their hand in it and try to make amends. But I think if you do that, if you're the one to do that, it's much easier for the other side to go, okay.
Yeah.
Making that first effort is the hardest part. And so if someone else does it for you, I think it's a little easier to go along with it. So I'm happy that Baby Val suggested it and Emily agreed to it.
Yeah. And so Emily invites all Kobe's friends to nightclub. They're ready for some nice, fun times. They got there. Kobe's showing them how white people dance. And I was like, okay, I mean, I have probably moves like this in my little portfolio of dance moves that I practice every night.
Your repertoire?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Who drinks a Guinness at a nightclub? Can I just pose that question? Like, give me a Red Bull vodka, give me a Corona, but who's drinking Guinness?
Who's drinking Guinness, period?
Outside of St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Not I.
No, it's too heavy.
It's a little heavy, but it just is the opposite. I think it is literally the opposite of what I want when a DJ is just blaring in my ears is a heavy, dark Guinness.
I like doing shots when I'm in the club, and it's been like 5 years, but like it gets you going.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we do house parties, which is what Kobe's friends wish they were invited to, was a house party.
I call this rude.
Like, very rude.
Emily invited them out. She's trying to have fun, trying to talk to them. And they were like, well, this is not good. Like, we don't like this because you should have invited us to your house and host us in your kitchen, cook for us. And she says, well, if you were in misery, I'll invite you over. I don't live here. And they were like, well, you're renting an apartment. Yeah, with the parents and the kids. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Kansas, but...
Kansas, yeah.
Go ahead.
But they're literally telling her, like, no, we don't like this. You're not good enough for Kobe.
This is on the friends. They were rude, I thought, but it's their culture. Okay, so we'll give them a pass. Then it's on Kobe for not explaining to Emily, hey, this is going to look bad if you want to go to the club.
Well, I'm glad the friends were like, well, we were surprised you invited us out because of the handball conversation, right? Where we spilled all the tea. And Emily said, you know, I'm trying to get to know you guys. Let's have fun. And they were like, we are grading this experience as bad.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
This
awful friends.
This kind of reeks of producer interference.
Oh, no. I think it's... I don't want to get into anyone's culture. I don't want to judge anyone's culture. However, I think culture in this should go a little aside because your friend is happily married with two freaking kids. They're visiting his homeland, trying to meet friends, trying to have fun, trying to have a traditional wedding. Why are you being assholes?
I agree. That's why I think it may be just a little producer interference. Like, are the friends really this turned off by Emily that they're just like, you're bossy. That's it. You're a bossy white woman. Like, maybe, but don't you take the lead from your friend who's married to this woman and go, all right, well, if he likes her, I'll give her a chance.
I don't think this is producer driven because now these friends look like assholes. I don't think you would voluntarily want to look like an ass.
True.
I think if you want to be an ass, that's your doing.
True. Yeah, it's just, it's wild because Emily is trying. And I'm not the biggest fan of Emily, and I was always the bigger fan of Kobe. But the tables are turning a little bit because...
Yeah, I didn't like Emily in her first season because she was kind of...
Bossy.
A little bossy, a little snobby. I think her...
The friends aren't wrong, which is the hard part
about
this
whole
thing.
I think now they've been together for a while. They learn to work together. They have kids together. I see her being a little better. Like, yes, if you're bossy, you're going to stay bossy. Some people, like my dad, is stubborn. He's going to be stubborn forever. Yeah. So unfortunately, who he is. However, he's changed. He's gotten better over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's gotten better too. And she's really trying.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think we should take a quick break. We will tell you about our sponsors for this episode. And when we come back, woo-wee, the drama just keeps on coming.
Woo-wee.
Nailed it. All right. We'll be back in a second.
This episode is sponsored by Jetpack Immune Travel Gummies.
Teresa, travel should be about adventure and relaxation, not sniffles and coughs. That's where Jetpack Immune comes in, an easy, delicious way to boost your immune system. Since getting these into my routine, I've been able to enjoy our travels even more.
But Jetpack isn't your ordinary supplement. It's a special blend that puts health first with a formula that's lower carbs, calories, and sugar than America's number one vitamin brand.
And can we talk elderberry? I've been taking elderberry supplements for a long time, but Jetpack packs a powerful 900 milligrams of elderberry into every serving. That's alongside 8 other immune-boosting ingredients like vitamin C, D, zinc, and echinacea, all in one delicious gummy you'll actually look forward to taking.
The taste is amazing. No bland or bitter vitamins here.
Plus, Jetpack supports a healthy stress response with ingredients like quercetin, bromelain, and astragalus, making it your perfect travel companion.
And because we know our listeners love a good deal, Jetpack is offering a special gift, a stylish pair of Jetpack sunglasses with every purchase for a limited time.
So don't wait. Give your immune system the support it deserves and get a stylish bonus. Head over to jetpackimmune.com to get your Jetpack Immune gummies and your free sunglasses.
Boost your health and travel in style with Jetpack. Visit jetpackimmune.com today.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa. Woo! All right. Any words of encouragement before we start this next segment?
I think Liz should just run. Like, just run. Don't even try to find small Ed to talk through it. Just pack up and run.
Ed canceled the wedding.
Who does he... Small Ed should be so happy that there is someone interested in him romantically because he's a total ass, yet he keeps being an ass.
How many relationships do you think have ended over taco pasta?
What is taco pasta? Thank you. Sounds disgusting. I'll tell you that.
There's been at least 4 divorces a year over taco pasta, I would say.
I love tacos. I love pasta. Love Italian, love Mexican cuisine. Don't mix those up. Sounds awful. It sounds like...
I'm leaning in. I'm curious.
No, please don't. No.
It sounds
awful.
It sounds like the signature dish of Arkansas. It's like the official state dish of Arkansas.
It sounds like... Well, you're not going to get this reference. But guys, if you love Friends, you know when Rachel was trying to cook and how those 2 pages of the cookbook stick... So she was doing meat with sweets together in a bowl.
The pages of my magazine stuck together in high school, but I don't know about many cookbooks.
Well, this sounded awful, yet it caused them, or Small Ed, to cancel the wedding without telling Liz.
But it's what I always say. If you're going to make taco pasta, just make sure it's not too spicy because it's going to cause you a whole headache.
Yeah, so this is what happened. I was going to say Fred. Ed's family.
He does look like a Fred.
Ed's family was over and he was making taco pasta.
As one does in Arkansas. You take out the fine china, you polish the silverware, and you throw in the taco pasta.
I think it was paper plates, but move on. Ed made it a little too spicy. And when Liz's kid, Riley, complained, he said, don't be a baby.
Yeah.
That really set Liz off. And then got into a huge fight in front of his family. Them fighting, nothing new, right?
Yeah.
But Ed said that was too much. And therefore, he decided to cancel the wedding because he said, the past 14 breakups were nothing like this.
You don't insult a man's taco pasta. I don't know how many times I have to say it. When are you going to learn? You don't insult a man's taco pasta.
The past 14 breakups.
It's a lot of breakups.
Bunch of morons, these people.
The pasta, 14 breakups.
Yes. So we see Liz driving, crying, saying she actually found out because the bishop texted her saying, I'm so sorry for your wedding being canceled.
Yeah. Ed didn't tell her.
Also, I always thought that if you want to do like a religious wedding, you have to talk to the pastors or the bishops, explain the relationship, and then they decide if they want to marry you. If I was a fucking bishop and someone said they broke up 14 times in 2 years, I would be like, you two morons are better separate.
I didn't hear bishop. I just heard they got a text from their officiant.
She said bishop.
I heard officiant.
Maybe officiant, bishop. Sounds similar
officiant.
To me.
But yeah, so he calls off the wedding, tells the officiant. He called off. They didn't even talk about it before
all right.
He called. Therese just rolled her eyes. You guys can't see that.
It's not even Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. Taco Pasta Tuesday. That's what we should make it in honor of this.
Awful.
This broken union.
Awful.
So that's what's happening. New day. Small Ed is at his sister Elizabeth's house and sunglasses and red wine at 2 p.m.
Well, she had an eye surgery, so I won't give her shit about the sunnies.
But the red wine, the sun was just blaring through that window. The red wine was flowing. She was just missing like a house coat. It was a complete vibe, what was going on. it was a look for sure.
She thinks that Ed deserves better because that fight was awful. The way Liz yelled at him was awful.
I'm glad you got your eyes fixed, lady, if you think Ed deserves better.
Yeah, he does not. But she said, you deserve someone who was born again Christian.
Yeah, which Teresa is not familiar with, but that's a thing.
It's a thing, apparently.
Not apparently. It's a thing.
Yeah, I still don't know what it is. I tried to Google it, and then I got interrupted. So
if someone has like repented and turned to Christ, it's a spiritual rebirth. They're born again. So Sister Elizabeth wants someone who's had a spiritual rebirth.
For Small Ed?
For Small Ed.
I think Small Ed should have a rebirth.
Yeah, you should try again. You should go back in, cook for a little bit longer, and try again. He does not scream religious to me, though. So I don't know what Sister Elizabeth is trying. Sister Elizabeth sounds like the number one nun at a church.
She looked like one, too. But she's like, you're not meant to be together. Liz yelled at you. That's not good. And Smollett is like, you know what? Thank you. You're right. I'm done. I'm totally done. The past 14 breakups were nothing on this one, and I'm just over it. Oh, I need to tell Liz.
I should probably tell Liz.
What a moron. Honestly, he is a moron. He's been a moron. We all hate him. But the fact that he cancels a wedding over taco pasta, and then he doesn't even tell the bride.
Teresa. It's never about the taco pasta. Just remember that.
Yeah, it's about Smollett being an asshole. I hope that this was the last time that Liz gave him any grace. I hope she moves on after this. I'm worried that they will end up getting married. Although, I don't know if they did.
Pasta la vista, baby.
Imagine if they did end up getting married.
And they serve taco pasta?
They serve taco pasta. We'll see.
All right. Woo! Can't get enough of that couple. Let's keep it moving.
You ready to pet some tarantulas?
Let's go from taco pasta to salmon crackers.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting breakfast, by the way.
He's trying. Okay, it's Rob.
He's trying.
He's trying.
He should have put it like salmon. I don't need salmon, but I do like good smoked salmon once in a while on a bagel.
Lox. Shout out to Lox.
On a bagel. What's Lox?
Smoked salmon.
Oh.
It's a delicacy where I come from.
Well, it's good on a nice bagel with cream cheese.
Oh, yeah.
He put it on crackers with a mozzarella and a ring.
The side of ring.
But he tried. Sophie likes it, but she says, this is not my ring. You don't remember your ring?
I don't understand how neither of them remember the ring, though.
You picked the ring. You've been separated or whatever for 2 months. It's not like, oh, you haven't seen him or the ring for a year.
Yeah, I don't understand. I didn't understand anything about this scene. But the primary thing I didn't understand was how neither of them knew if it was the right ring.
Yeah, but Rob is just happy she's back home.
I guess when there's like just a big piece of Gouda on it, it's hard to...
It wasn't Gouda, it was mozzarella ball.
When there's a big piece of mozz stuck to it, you're like, is this the ring? I don't know. I don't remember it having mozzarella on it.
I didn't get it because Sophie says, you know I hate cheese, right? And he's like, yeah, like this is something I had in the fridge. Something seemed like a good ring holder.
I tried sticking it in the cracker, but it wouldn't hold. So I needed something else.
Well, I'll give him a point for trying.
A for effort.
I'm glad Sophie's back because Rob was so lonely that he got not one, not two, but six tarantulas.
That's about six too many spiders, if you ask me.
Yes, and he says, you know, they can live 25, 30 years. So I just decided, like, why don't I have a pet? Like, someone is going to stay with me for a while.
Yikes.
Yikes. But Sophie's trying.
Is it like a dog? Does it like to be pet? I could see, you know how people put cats on leashes now? I could see Sophie walking down the sidewalk in Austin with a tarantula on a leash.
Not tarantula, no thank you. I'm not grossed out by them, but I would not want to have one, I'll tell you that.
I'm quite disgusted by them.
I'm with Sophie on a snail sanctuary. I used to play chess with snails.
Now you're going to have to explain this.
After it rained, I used to go out and picked up the black and the yellow snails.
how old were you? Paint a picture.
Oh, 8-ish. I don't know, okay. Young. And I used to draw with a chalk a little chess or checkerboard, played, I set it up the snails.
They didn't move?
They did. That was the issue.
Who were you playing against? The snails?
Not myself.
You should have played against the snails since they were moving.
Yeah, I just loved picking them up or saving them too. I did that. I always like moving them onto the side, loved touching their little eyes. They always like suck them back in.
Yeah.
And then one of my friends got that exotic, I think it's like an African snail. Mm-hmm. It's huge. Like, look at me, how big it is.
Yeah. That's for those who aren't in our apartment, that's about 4 basketballs, I would say.
A huge, beautiful, big snail. I always wanted it. My parents said no.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And look at you, 25 years later, just eating snails in France.
Oh, it was very good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. You won that game of chess.
I am for Circle of Life.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Okay. Sophie did do some snail work in her past too, some lettuce and flowers. She really took care of those snails.
Yeah.
So she hyped herself up and she touched the tarantula.
Good for her because she said, you know, he put the ring in the cheese. I'm going to touch the spider to return the favor.
Yeah, she got into it. She was petting it a bit.
Yeah. Well, then she's going to meet up with her friend Kay to make a friendship bracelet.
Well, it's very popular now. Taylor Swift, the Swifties, they're doing it.
Really?
It's a whole thing. You make your bracelets, you trade your bracelets.
I used to make little crocodiles for everyone. I learned to make like little beads crocodiles.
I don't know what you're saying.
Beads?
Mm-hmm.
Beads?
Why crocodiles?
That was one of the patterns I found in a magazine.
I used to make friendship bracelets and I would sell them at the beach club.
You did? I was just giving it to everyone for free. And it got to the point that I was being really stressed about it because everyone wanted them. And as a child,
you couldn't keep up with demand.
I didn't know how to say
no. You should have gone on the Shark Tank. I can't keep up.
My parents literally said, like, you cannot keep doing this anymore. Like, you're being too stressed.
It's because you were working at a snail's pace, Teresa.
Those took a while.
Yeah. All right. Here's a bombshell. How long has it been since Sophie and Rob made love? Not even made love. Let's just had sex. Let's just say what it is. Had sex.
6 months, which I thought these guys, like, that's what kept their relationship going was sex.
But that's all there was sex. I thought Rob was a nymphomaniac, and I thought Sophie was there.
No. No, no, no. It's been 6 months. And that's not even the bombshell. The bombshell is that Sophie lied to Rob before they got married when she said, oh, yeah, I'm bisexual, but I've never acted on it. Now we found out she has hooked up with women. Again, it's okay and it's great. I'm glad she did it in the past. However, why wouldn't you tell him? When you said I'm bisexual and he asked, you should have said, yeah, I've had some experiences. I think it would have made him feel better that she got it out of her system. She totally made it sound like, oh, I had that feeling, but I never acted on it. I just want to be with you. Well, it's worse. And the fact that she lied about it makes it even worse.
Totally. Yeah, I think you make a good point. His whole fear is probably, how does she know she's not going to like it more than being with me? Well, she's tried.
Yeah.
And she's scratched that itch, if you want to call it an itch. And so, yeah, I think Rob will be way more mad when this comes out than the Callum situation.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, she definitely should have been honest with Callum, too. Like, just tell him that she's telling him half of the truth. Just tell him the full truth, especially because you were going to marry. Well, you married this guy. And, well, Kay's not really a big fan of Rob. She's like, I just want Sophie to be happy with a guy or a girl.
I think Kay is putting her name in the ring.
I think she's too, but I also think it's sad if your friend is married and she's trying to get back together with her husband and you're saying, I just want you to be happy with anyone but Rob.
Yeah. No, the friends this season are no good.
Not good.
The friends this season. I mean, I know you like Julian. I think he may have maybe crossed the line a hair, but...
Well, I think Julian is not even... I think he is her friend because of Olga.
True.
Right?
Ola.
Oha.
We were saying her name wrong this whole time.
Oha.
Ola.
Well, I think it's still pronounced Olga. I think Nicole said Olga, but I think it's spelled Oha.
That's right.
But yeah, Julian did nothing. I think Julian was like, oh my gosh, fuck. I'm in this situation. I need to do something or something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
Either Mahmoud's going to get drunk by a car or Nicole's going to push him off the balcony. Like, I don't know. Or the other way around. Who knows? Julian is the only good friend this season.
All right. Back to Kay, though. She thinks Rob and Sophie should go to couples therapy. Sophie, she's like, well, I think he should just go. He should do it by himself. And Kay's like, nah, you need to go as well. Everyone on this planet needs therapy.
And she agrees. She's like, I've never been to therapy, but I guess I can give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
Yes.
All right. One more?
Let's go to Brazil.
Oh, two more.
Hello. Let's go to Brazil and then back to our home state.
We never bring your parents USA swag. I know what we're bringing. No more Starbucks. We're bringing Stars and Stripes.
What are you talking about? We always bring them bourbon.
That's true, but...
Bourbon has to be made in USA in certain climate. Only
America.
In a few states that can actually be made.
No, it could be made in a lot of states.
No, because of the climate.
I don't think it has anything to do with climate.
I think it has everything to do with the climate. That's why most of the bourbon is made in Kentucky and Tennessee because of the climate.
No, it's because of the limestone water, but...
And the climate.
The climate helps... The barrels expand and contract, but
you cannot make bourbon in Florida necessarily. I don't
think 100% could make bourbon.
Yeah,
in Florida.
It's not gonna be good.
No one's saying whether it would be good or not. People, I'm saying the rules of it. It has to be 51% corn in the mash bill. Has to be new charred oak barrels made in the U.S. Any state in that you could have Alaska bourbon.
Really?
And then there's like it has to be distilled at a certain proof.
I thought it has to be, I mean, I knew it has to be made in the USA. I thought it has to be made in one of those like central states because of the climate and the water.
That's why the bourbon is so good there because it gets hot, it gets cold. So the barrels expand and contract and the limestone water is fantastic. But no, it could be made anywhere in the US.
But yeah, those are the Stars and Stripes we bring to my parents in a bottle.
Correct.
They drink bourbon as an appetizer.
I love it. Love
they love it.
John is bringing a beach shovel and a pail for some reason, even though there's no beaches. But
He's trying.
He's trying. And one thing they need to bring but aren't sure how to pack is formula powder.
Just pack the formula.
Yeah, and maybe this is a dicey thing to say, but I feel like the powders are being smuggled out of South America, not into. I don't think anyone's really on high alert about the powders going into.
Also, if it's in your carry-on and you do have a baby on you, I don't think that many people are going to question you.
Yeah.
And if they really need to, they can open it and sample it, but I don't think you should worry about that.
No, what you got to worry about, Patrick, is the fact that you're going to have to ask for the blessing.
Again. And Patrick says, you know what? This is weird. Asking for a blessing once, you either get it or you don't get it, and then you move on.
I'm with Patrick on this. Yeah. It's a little strange, especially since they're already married and have a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you... It's just an awkward thing to ask because you're asking something that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Even if dad says no, it's not going to change anything.
Also, why is the dad being such a... What's the word?
What is the word?
Like a party pooper.
Hey, being a party pooper.
Like, Patrick did ask you, bro, and now you're saying, oh, I need him to ask me in person. It's like, he couldn't ask you in person before. And I remember Thais didn't tell dad that she's going to the U.S. to get married.
Yeah.
I'll put that on her. Come on.
Definitely on her. John is going with, obviously, but he's not going with them. When they go, he's coming.
Which is weird because
so weird.
It's them, it's the kid, it's the dog.
Yeah, and I would not be confident that John could navigate international travel alone. He could. He couldn't even remember a deodorant when he flew to Texas. So
imagine if he discovers that you can drink for free. He's going to be like Christian going to England.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, cut to Brazil. Patrick's dad sounds like your dad when it comes to driving. Patrick was like, my dad says, like, you don't need to stop. At stop signs, that's like it's more of a suggestion.
That's not true. My dad follows the rules.
The speed limit, does he?
He does.
It just feels like we're going twice the speed limit?
Yes. You can go a little faster in Europe.
Okay.
I'm telling you, check, unfortunately, or fortunately, there are police everywhere checking your speed, and you go 3 kilometers over the speed limit, they're going to pull you over and going to get a freaking ticket. Like, my dad does follow the speed limit. Doesn't seem like sometimes.
Definitely doesn't
But
seem
I was
like
keeping
it.
An eye on him. He does follow it.
Okay. All right. Well, Thais's dad, Carlos, is on the phone, and he just starts heckling Patrick. He immediately is like, hey, little bastard. How's he driving?
That's awful.
It's really not good.
No.
If you want to foster a relationship with your son-in-law, then I probably wouldn't call him little bastard.
Yeah, especially like he can't understand you. Like if you want to trash talk someone in a different language, it's still an asshole move, but okay.
Yeah.
But saying it knowing that the other person knows what you just said, that's awful.
Yeah. And right then, Patrick blew a stop sign. He literally drove right through. The sign said pair. And according to my Googling, that's definitely a stop sign. And he just drove straight through it.
Yeah, not good.
Not great. So we see Patrick has an apartment there.
Yeah, so I didn't get this. I thought, okay, he has an apartment that the dad lives in.
Nah. Dad, I think dad probably bought it because dad's a resident, a citizen. And
but Patrick pays the bills.
Patrick rents it through his dad. He got this place when he started getting serious with Thais, so he wouldn't need to keep getting a hotel. But
I hope someone lives there during the year. Otherwise, it's a waste of money.
Maybe you rent it out.
They haven't been there in 2 years. So
the Airbnb it or something.
Yeah.
Could be a nice little investment property.
Yeah.
Speaking of dad, Jose, Father Jose arrives. And this was a surprise to Thais because they told her dad, hey, we're not coming to say hello. We're going to go home. We're going to rest up. They thought they'd have the night to do that. And then knock, knock, Father Jose is there.
It seems like both of these dads don't have the best relationship with the other person. Because Thais was like, what is he doing here? Like, ugh, I wish I knew about this.
Also, imagine if my parents lived in driving distance from your parents. Wouldn't that be beautiful? They could hang out all the time.
They would hang out all the time.
Why isn't Father Jose and Father Carlos grabbing beers together?
I don't know.
Let's make this family a family.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that Thais is that dislike Pat so much because Pat speaks the language.
Yeah.
He's half Brazilian. Yeah. His dad lives there. It's not like, oh, he's a total rando who doesn't understand the culture or the language.
Yeah. So let's see. I'm interested in how this is going to go down.
Me too.
All right. New old couple alert.
Yes. Lauren and Alex.
So been married 8 years now. Time flies.
Yeah.
And you're having fun. They have three kids.
They're both 35. They have their kid are like 1, 3, and 5.
Yes. So the inmates are running the asylum. They are outnumbered by those children. And dad is in town. Alexi's dad is in town to help him out.
Yes. So I think their drama is going to be Lauren's mommy makeover surgery.
That can't be the drama because that's only going to last a couple of weeks, right?
Well, I wish she didn't advertise on social media because, like, we know she went through the drama. It's like, is she going to go through with it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Alex isn't the happiest about it, but he wants to support her. Her mom doesn't like it. Her friends don't like it. We know she did it. And so I wish she kind of kept it to herself, knowing she'll be on the season. So we all would be like, oh my gosh, it's going to happen.
Is she going to do it?
What is she going to look like?
What's going to happen?
Is she going to survive? It's a five-hour-long surgery. Listen, yeah. I get it. I have my own case of body dysmorphia that I'm just, if I don't work out, if I don't eat healthy, I wouldn't be happy with myself, right? And I haven't had any kids, so I don't need a mommy makeover. But if we do have kids, I can see myself doing a little bit of a tummy tuck and moving some fat to my boobs all natural. Like, why not? If that makes her happy and it's going to make her feel confident and she has the cash to do it, by all means, I support it.
Yeah, I totally do too. And I was a little turned off by her friends being so against this. It's a little bit of a my body, my choice, right?
Yeah.
And so if that's what she wants to do, if that's what she needs to do to feel her best, who are you, friends?
Yeah.
Mom, okay, if you want to be like, my daughter, I don't know, I'm nervous about my daughter going under the knife. Okay, mom, you have the right to say that. But friends, it's none of your business.
Yeah, for sure. And I know she's been working out. I follow her on social media. She's been trying. So it's not like she's like, yeah, I do nothing. I'm just going to do this makeover. She's been trying. She's been trying to be healthier, but it wasn't enough. So if she wants to do this, you do it. If it's going to make you feel better about yourself, you do that.
Yeah. And also, and as you say, I don't follow her, but if she's working out, good for her. Also, if you're not working out, but you have three kids, I can understand why you're not working. Like, I've said many times on this podcast about going to the gym and there being a stroller or a baby wandering around. And it's like, I get it. You're trying to get it in. And I applaud that. But this is not a safe space for a child to be crawling around when I'm dropping dumbbells. So,
yeah. Plus, it's gross. It's sweaty. It's like, don't let your baby crawl in people's sweat.
But so if Lauren couldn't get to the gym because she's looking after three kids, I would understand that too.
Well, there are gyms with daycare that you can dump your kids and do your workout.
That's a good point. So, yes, I think the drama here, at least in the beginning of their story, is going to be, is she going to do the surgery? Is she not? Because Alexi and Lauren's mom went out to pack up the car after this birthday party. And mom was like, I don't know. I don't like this. How do you feel about it? Like, maybe you have a chance to talk her out of it. And Alexi said, yeah. Well, we're going to go talk to the doctor once more and maybe I can sabotage.
Yeah. And that's my point. We all know she did it. There's a 59 photos on social media. I wish we didn't know. I wish they kept it sacred because now it's like, oh my gosh, is it going to happen? What is it going to look like?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see what led up to it.
Yes.
All right. That is the episode. Woo! I thought this was a good episode. Learned about taco pasta.
Ew.
Yeah, we might try it.
No, we're not. That sounds awful.
I promise I won't make it too spicy.
No, pick your bottles. You're going to do a taco, you're going to do pasta.
All right.
Or just move to Arkansas.
Arkansas. All right. That is the episode. Guys, I said it at the top of the show. I'll say it again. Love in Paradise starts tonight.
Woof, woof.
And we are absolutely covering it on the Patreon and Supercast. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that, sign up.
Sign up, you guys.
Patreon.com/MeritReality, MeritReality.supercast.com. starts at the Cousins Club level. It's also at the Family Affair level on video. The Family Affair level also gets a monthly bonus. It's all ad-free. We throw bonuses out to everyone once in a while. None of the upfront business. It's a good time over there. It's a special chat on the Patreon. Just for those exclusive members.
Yes, and we love it. And we have our friends sharing some fun stuff. Photos of them hanging out at 90 Days. Guys,
shout out to Missy.
Good times.
Shout out to Missy. All right. So check it out, Patreon and Supercast. Also follow us on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. You can call in over there. Share your thoughts over there. Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it is hot. It's the beautiful review we got from our friend
Cabrita.
Thank you, Cabrita.
We love that. If you haven't left a review, be like Cabrita. And, yes. And drop us a review. If it's a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here.
Yes.
All right.
I've said it all.
Sure have. Means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.